God allows crises in our lives to reveal God in a way you have never seen him before.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about the upside to down times.
When God shakes things up, it's because he's doing something new.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. No one goes out looking for trouble, but when trouble finds you, Dr. Evans says God may be about to do a miracle. Let's join him as he explains.
You do not have to guess when God wants to let you know he is God in a way that you have previously not known. You do not have to wonder and follow Alice to a place called Wonderland to find out when God wants to manifest himself, glory, the manifestation, he wants to become visible, because the one thing that will happen that will let you know God wants to become more real to you at a level that you've never experienced him before is when you are in a crisis. What I'd like to suggest to you today is a crisis is not just a crisis. It is a crisis, but it is more than a crisis. A crisis is an opportunity to experience God, epigenosis, the experience of God, at a level you had not previously known him. If you're not satisfied with just information, more knowledge, academic acumen in the religious sphere of life about God, then you're a prime candidate for a crisis. Now, I know automatically hearing that, some of you are saying, well, I don't want to know him that well. And I'm satisfied with the service and the sermon. But to miss out on who God is to miss out on how great God is. When God in the Bible wanted to reveal himself at another level, you will find this consistent pattern. He would either create or allow somebody else to create a crisis. People would find themselves in situations they themselves could not fix. They found themselves in scenarios they could not solve, predicaments that they could not unravel, circumstances that they could not circumvent. A crisis. You're in a crisis when your options are gone. When everything you thought could work doesn't work. When you've spent all your money and you weren't able to buy your way out of it. When you talked to all your friends and they couldn't hook up a connection to resolve a problem. When you leaned on all the knowledge that you knew about the subject. When over-the-counter doesn't work. And you're in a crisis. You're in a situation you can't fix. You can call it what you want. You can call it a catch-22, in a pickle, on a ledge, between a rock and a hard place. Or as one of my good friends calls it, a trick bag. You're in a predicament. Anybody here in a predicament? Anybody here been in a predicament? Anybody here, your life is a predicament. It's just predicament. I want you to theologize your crisis. I don't just want you to have it. I want you to theologize it. I want you to put on some glasses, some HD glasses, because they sell those now. And I want you to see a little clearer in high definition your crisis. Crises come in all forms. They come as financial crisis, whole bunch of folk in those. And that kind of crisis. relational crisis, circumstantial crisis, medical crisis. I mean, the one common denominator is you can't fix it. It's bigger than you. Suppose, just suppose. Not suppose, that's soft. Suppose. God has you in a crisis because he wants you to see him at a level you've never seen him before. I like the way Paul says it in 2 Corinthians 1. He says, God took us nigh to death. He says, we were so overwhelmed, our crisis was so great, we knew we were going to die. And then he says, and God did it so that we would come to know the one who raises the dead. See, if you're not dying, you don't know what a resurrection looks like. Because you don't need one. It's one thing to say he's a healer if you're not sick. It's a whole different ball game to say he's a healer and you are sick. It's one thing to say he's a way maker if you already know your way. It's a whole different ball game to say he's a way maker when you lost. It's one thing to say he's a provider when it's already in the refrigerator and the freezer and in the bank. Oh, somebody wanted a sermon today. It's a whole nother thing to say he's a provider when you don't know where your next meal's coming from. And like the widow of Zarephath, you're down to your last dime. God allows crises in our lives to reveal God in a way you have never seen him before. Of all the stories in the Bible that reveal God allowing, even crafting, manipulating a crisis for the purpose of our experiencing and knowing him better, is the most famous story in the Old Testament. Cecil B. DeMille's The Opening of the Red Sea. That story dominates the Old Testament. It's repeated over and over and over and over and over because it was the premier crisis of the children of Israel. And it was one they would never, ever, never, 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 ever forget. When God wants to move you to a new level, to a deeper level of experiencing him, not just knowing about him, he will typically use a crisis. Now, Israel had expanded in Egypt, and God was ready for them to move now to a new place called the Promised Land. But they had gotten comfortable where they were. They were in Egypt and everything was going pretty good in Egypt. The problem is they could live comfortably without God in Egypt. And you can be comfortable without God. Many of you know non-Christians who don't think much about God and are doing okay. They don't need God. They got a good bank account. They feel they're healthy. Everything seems to be going well. Well, the children of Israel had become comfortable in a place God didn't want them to stay. So like a child, when it's time for them to leave, you know they need to leave. They don't think they need to leave. Why are you going to leave when the food is free, the air is free, the heat is free? The roof is free, and all you do is coming and going. Why are you going to leave? You can be comfortable. So let me help some of you parents out with 28-year-olds still living with you and 48-year-olds still living with you. Let me help some of you out here. You're asking, why won't they leave? It's too comfortable. That's why they're not going to leave. So if you want to move them on and move them out rawhide, if you want to get them going, you've got to create discomfort. Tell them you got to stop paying rent. Tell them you got to buy your own food. Tell them you got to split the utilities. Tell them you can't use my gas card anymore. Tell them you can't be coming in whenever you want to. You make it uncomfortable, and they will reconsider their position. But if they know they can live there till their dying day, they ain't going nowhere. God wanted his people to go somewhere. He wanted his people to leave Egypt, where it was comfortable, and to go to the place of promise where they would experience him more personally and more deeply, because they could live without the experience of God in Egypt. So according to the book of Exodus, chapter 2, God allowed there to be discomfort. God allowed there to be difficulty. God allowed there to be anguish among the people of God because of his desire to move them to a new place. In fact, look at chapter 1, verse 8. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. Verse 11. So they appointed taskmasters over them to afflict them with hard labor. And they built for Pharaoh new storage cities. Verse 12. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied. Verse 23, it came about in the course of those many days, the king of Egypt died and the sons of Israel sighed because of their bondage, and they cried out, and the cry for help because of their bondage rose up to God. Things kept getting worse. So it says they cried up to God. Now, they're not crying up to God prior to things getting bad. Have you ever noticed you don't cry up to God when it's okay? You pray them polite prayers, them Christianese prayers, them same old prayers. Lord bless me, Lord bless my, you know, now lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take. And, you know, those nice, sophisticated, studious prayers. But when all hell's breaking loose and things are getting worse, not better, that's a different prayer. That's a different contact. It says they cried up and their cry rose up to God. What does that tell us? They were not crying out because there was nothing to rise up, because things weren't bad enough yet.
But how bad will God let things get? Dr. Evans will have the answer when he continues this lesson from his series, The Comeback. This collection explores ways to reverse the consequences of spiritual failures in your past, find deliverance, and develop the wisdom you need to get your life headed in a new and healthy direction. As a way of investing in you and your family, we'd like you to have this entire 10 CD collection, along with a special bonus, a 52-week devotional from Tony and his son Jonathan called the Kingdom Family Devotional. Topics range from basics of the faith like salvation, prayer, and discipleship, to life essentials like handling money, picking friends, and setting priorities. Both of these powerful resources are yours as our thank you gift when you come alongside Tony's ministry with a contribution of any size. We are a completely listener-supported ministry, so your faithfulness is the only way we can keep bringing you this broadcast each day. Again, you can make all the arrangements at tonyevans.org or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222.
Everyone loves a good comeback. The crowds cheer for the underdog just so they can get the emotional high of watching the defeated rise from the ashes and fight their way to victory. They inspire us because they help us believe that whatever we might be facing, hope is just around the corner. Find out how you can have your own personal and spiritual comeback by purchasing Tony Evans' newest book, Your Comeback. Begin the journey to your comeback today. Available in bookstores everywhere.
And when you order your copy, you're qualified to enter our Comeback Sweepstakes for your chance to win an all-expense-paid trip for two to the Holy Land with Dr. Evans this November. But hurry, time is running out. The sweepstakes ends tomorrow. No purchase is necessary, and complete rules are online at tonyevans.org. Well, let's get back to our lesson now. Here's Dr. Evans.
When God wants to move you to a new experience with him, he will often, not all the time, not only, but often allow your life to get worse, not better. Now, I know that will contradict a lot of theology that's out there, because a lot of theology will tell you the way you know God is good is he's blessing you. And they measure that by material success. Well, that is one way that you know God is good. But God is also good when he precipitates a crisis, because the purpose of the crisis is for you to find out stuff about him you never knew. To experience him at a whole nother level. So a crisis can be as good as what you typically define as a blessing. Getting fired can be as great a blessing as getting a raise. Oh, didn't think about that. A downturn in your situation can be as great a blessing, and maybe even a greater one, than an upturn. In fact, Hebrews chapter 12 says, when God shakes things up and causes things to be disturbed, it's because he's doing something new. That's in the New Testament. So don't look at your crisis merely as a negative thing that's happened. Don't lie about it and say it's positive if it's negative. I just want you to understand that God uses crisis to expose himself to us at a whole different level. These people cried out to God, verse 24 of chapter 2 says, so God heard their groanings. Ever groaned? And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God saw the sons of Israel and took notice of them. He paid special attention. That's what took notice means. He paid. Isn't that what you want when you're in a crisis? You want special attention. Okay? You don't want a general God when you're in a specific crisis. You know, general is good when I'm generally okay. When I am in specific chaos, I need a specific God for my specific situation. It says, they called on God and he remembered his agreement with them. But you know the story. Moses is pastoring his flock and he comes across a bush that does not burn. It's on fire, but it's not burning. That's called, ladies and gentlemen, a contradiction. He walks over there to the burning bush. God says, take off your shoes, Moses. You're on holy ground. God was in the middle of the thing that didn't make sense. God was in the thing. See, maybe you ought to run to your contradictions and not from them, because God was right in the middle of something that didn't make sense. Take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. God drew him through a situation that didn't make sense and now tells him, now, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Okay, chapter 2, we need help. God goes over, unbeknownst to them, to a man named Moses, tell Moses, I'm choosing you to go tell Pharaoh, answer my people's prayer. See, God may have your solution over there dealing with their own contradictions, and he just needs to create what I call divine intersection between your need and your crisis and his solution. Moses goes to Pharaoh. He says, Pharaoh, God said, let our people go. Pharaoh says, no. He says, no, 9 times. The 10th one was a doozy. He said, no, once too much. And now God kills all the firstborn of the Egyptians. He preserves the life of the firstborn of Israel, the Passover. Pharaoh knew he had to get rid of these people. Watch this now. God forced the sinner to set the saints free by allowing the sinner, Pharaoh, Egypt, the world, to free his people. So they do that. Verse 17 of chapter 13. Now when Pharaoh had let the people go, God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, even though it was near. For God said the people might change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Hence God led them around by the way of the wilderness to the Red Sea. Oh, this is sweet. Freedom. They finally get freedom. After the 10th plague, Pharaoh can't take it anymore. He says, y'all get out of here. Not only did he say, y'all get out of here, they gave him the money for the trip. That's right. The Bible says they wanted them out there so bad in chapter 12 that they took off all their gold, all their jewelry, all their silver, all their wealth, and turned it over to them. So God now, watch this, supplies for the journey when he delivers them out of their former crisis. And then it says, God did not lead them the near way. In other words, God didn't show them the closest route. Because the Philistines were there, and he knew if they ran into the Philistines, they would be so afraid, so intimidated, they would want to go back to Egypt. So he took them, watch this, he took them the long way around. You ever feel like God is taking you the long way around? You finally get delivered. You finally see some blessing. You finally see some something. You finally look like God has answered your prayer. And now you got to go the long way around. Not the direct route. Listen, if God is taking you the long way around, in other words, he's taking a long time to finish what he started, it's because he knows there are problems on the direct route. See, the Philistines, that was the problem. It was the quick way. It wasn't the best way. The quick way, the quick solution to whatever it is you're facing is not always the best solution. That's why you got to follow God, because he's got inside information that you're not aware of. You don't know what you're going to run into if you go the natural route, the direct route, which would have been along the Mediterranean Sea. That would have been a great little trip, you know, along the Mediterranean, you know, with all the gold and the jewelry and all that stuff. That's living large. We would have gotten to our destination quick. God says that's not the best route. Verse 4, this is critical. Verse 4 of chapter 14. Thus I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after them, and I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. Now, wait a minute. God, my prayer is get Pharaoh off my back. That's my prayer. Tell my boss, leave me alone. Change my mate. Tell my situation to go away. That's my prayer. God said, we're going to make it worse. I'm a harden Pharaoh's heart so he won't stay home. I'm a harden Pharaoh's heart so that he chases you. I am going to make your situation worse. Now what's frustrating about this is he just had answered one prayer by raising up Moses, setting us free from Egypt. And now I'm back in a brand new crisis. He says, I'm going to make him chase you. Why are you going to do this, God? God tells you in verse 4, so that I will be honored by a fool. This fool is going to know that I'm God.
Dr. Tony Evans with the first part of a message he calls Experiencing Spiritual Deliverance. That's the title to ask about if you're interested in getting a full-length copy of today's lesson on CD or DVD. Or contact us for details on Dr. Evans' current 10-part teaching series, The Comeback. Remember, if you contact us by tomorrow, it's yours as our gift when you make any contribution, large or small, to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. Along with it, you'll get the Kingdom Family Devotional book I mentioned earlier as a bonus. Remember, this special double offer ends tomorrow, so visit TonyEvans.org to make the arrangements before time runs out. That's TonyEvans.org. Or reach out to our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222. It's open 24/7. That's 1-800-800-3222. Tomorrow, we'll hear more from Dr. Evans on what to do when it feels like you have an army behind you and an ocean ahead of you. Be sure to join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.